Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service of public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the contract penalty clause when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious by now that something is wrong and very wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they teach these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. And you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? And are you aware that your daughter, for instance, couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? That's right, an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. And that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution, and that's not separation of church and state. Now, there's still one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer its effects. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law or the Law of God, or common law, or natural law, or karma, or something else. It's automatic. It just works like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which is the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first. That's the 4-hour commentary, remember, on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, best of all, it's free. And you can call now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we finished up on Deuteronomy chapter 28. Remember, we have a contract. The contract is located in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8. Your great-great-granddaddy, 84 generations ago, subscribed to it. It inures to the heirs and the signs forever. You're one of those heirs and the signs forever isn't up yet, and there's a penal clause in the contract. The penal clause is in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Now, there's some good news, as well as the bad news. First of all, the bad news is we're in breach of contract, and there's a penalty, and I went through the penalties, and the penalties aren't good. They sound bad. They are bad. Life is serious. We need to take them seriously. On the other hand, life can be very good. God's a reasonable fella, and he said, now, if you'll practice the law, in remember Ezekiel chapter 18, he said, now, if you'll practice this law, forget bygones are bygones, and I'll forget about it. That's good news. So I went through Ezekiel chapter 18, and in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, God told us, don't add to this law, and don't take away from it. Don't get cute now and come along and add something like Christmas, Easter, and New Year's to Passover, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't get cute now and change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Now, that's one of the problems that we have. We've been changing the law. We've been changing our practices. We have unilaterally changed the terms and conditions of the contract. We didn't have the authority to do that. We don't have the authority to do that, and the boss isn't going to listen to it. So if you think Christmas, Easter, and New Year's are as good as Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles and Pentecost and the Last Great Day and so on, well, get after it, but I think you're going to be bitterly disappointed in the final analysis. Now, there's a couple of other scriptures in here that you should keep in mind. Exodus 23. Let me flip over there quickly. Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 23. And he tells us a little story over here. He says, now, if, you know, you decide to practice my law, he says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. Now beware of this angel and obey his voice, and don't provoke him. Don't give him the finger, because he's not going to pardon your transgressions because my name is in him. That's because he's an ambassador. Verse 22, but if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'm going to be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, because my angel shall go in before you and bring you in unto the IRS, the EPA, and the State Tax Commission, and I will cut them off. Anybody messing with you is messing with God himself. That's what the contract terms call for. That's part of the contract. Do what I tell you. Anybody messes with you is messing with me, and I'll cut them off. Now, in Exodus 15, verse 26, you'll remember that he had a lot to say about disease. He said, one of the things I'm going to do for you is I'm going to lay on you diseases of long continuation, like Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, AIDS, dementia, you know, the hard, slow, nasty way to die. In verse 26, this is chapter 15, Exodus 15, verse 26, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God, and if you will do that which is right in his sight, and if you will give ear to his commandments, and if you will keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, because I'm the Eternal that healeth thee. All right, now if you don't want to get one of those nasty diseases, if you want to die of old age with your shoes off, in bed, peacefully in your sleep, then you need to practice this law. If you want to die hard, like Christopher Reeve, or if you want to die from Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or Lou Gehrig's disease or AIDS dementia, well then you're probably on the right track. Stick with it. All right, so there's Exodus 23:20 and Exodus 15:26. Now, in Deuteronomy 9, in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, he adds a little bit more to that. You know, God's got a few instructions here, and he says, hey, listen, I'm a reasonable guy. Pay attention, do what I tell you. Things will go a lot better for you. Deuteronomy 9, verses 1 through 6, he says this. Hear, O Israel, listen up now. You are to pass over Jordan this day and to go in to possess nations that are greater and mightier than you, cities that are great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims whom you knowest and of whom you have heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand, therefore, this day that the Eternal your God is the God which goes over before you as a consuming fire, and he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before your face. So shall you drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Eternal has said unto you. Speak not you in your heart after that the Eternal your God has cast them out from before you, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Eternal does drive them out from before you. Not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart dost you go in to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations does the Eternal your God drive them out from before you, and that he may perform the word which he swore unto your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Eternal your God gives you not this good land to possess it for your righteousness, because you're a stiff-necked people. So he knew that we were hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and a bunch of jerks. And he said, now I'm going to throw these guys out and give you their land in Australia and Canada and the United States. But it's not because you're righteous, it's because they're wicked, they're evil, and I'm going to punish them. So if you Indians are wondering, you American Indians are wondering, well, what happened to us? It was the God of Abraham that threw you out because of your wickedness. And if you want to get your land back, you practice this law, and God is going to throw us out, and then you can take it over by adverse possession. All right, now in Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 20, just flip back here one chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's about three or four high spots in here. Good chapter. In verse 1, he says, all the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Eternal your God has swore to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Eternal your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Well, we know the answer to that. The answer is no, we will not keep his commandments. All right, so the nation, as a nation, we've said kiss off, and we're not doing this crap. All right, now that triggers the penal clause. And now you know what God says I'm going to do to you. I'm going to take your benefits away from you, number one. I'm going to lean on you, number two. And then I'm going to kick you out of the land, number three. Now we're getting leaned on right now. Hurricane Katrina and this drought in the West, this big flood that you saw up here in Pennsylvania, that's the leaning portion. And if we'll be reformed by that, that's probably all we need. And if we won't be reformed by that, then he says I'm going to punish you seven times more for your sin. Remember that? Now he humbled you, and he suffered you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you knew not, and neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. So if you want to know what the bottom line is, man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now that's Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Now skip ahead to Matthew 4:4. That's for you Christians. Now, you Christians that believe in the New Testament and you don't believe the Old, there's 435 direct quotations in the New Testament cited directly from the Old. Not exactly clear why it is that people don't want to listen to Moses and the prophets, but for some reason they don't. I guess it's because they're religious. They've been listening to them lying preachers again.
Jesus had a first-person quotation in Matthew 4, verse 4. He cited directly from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So now you know. And he repeated it. It's mentioned twice in the New Testament. In Luke 4, 4, it says the same thing. Both of the citations come from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Now, you should bear in mind that when Jesus spoke those words, not a single word of the New Testament had been written down yet. When Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, he was referring to the first 39 books of the Bible from Genesis to Malachi. That's all that there was. And he said, you're to live by every word of it. That's what the contract calls for. And remember in Deuteronomy 4:2 and Deuteronomy 12:32, he said, don't you get cutesy now and add a word or take a word away. You don't have the authority or the power to do that. Just sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and do what you're told. Now, if you can't do that, that's fine. No problem. You're not going to make me mad. Remember, I'm just a reporter here to give you the information. You can do with it whatever you want. Now, he says in verse 6, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Eternal your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. And in verse 11, he says, beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day. So he says, now, be careful that you don't forget. No, you got Alzheimer's disease, you're having a hard time remembering. He points out to you, don't forget to keep this law, practice these commandments. Don't forget the terms and conditions of the contract. Don't forget our deal. And then finally in this section in chapter 7, verse 9, he says, know therefore that the Lord your God is a God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Hey, you do what I tell you, sit down, shut up, fold your hands, do what you're told, I'll keep my end of the deal to 1,000 generations. And remember the benefits. You know, if you're forgetting the benefits, go back to the first 13 or 14 verses of Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. He lays it out in spades. Hey, I'm going to do all this, these neat things for it. I'll give you the SUV, the Ford Explorer. I'll give you the beach house on the Gulf Coast. I'll give you the nice house, the townhouse in downtown Chicago. I'll give you a good job. I'll give you plenty of money. Just remember our deal. Then in verse 10, he says, and repays them that hates him to their face to destroy them. And he will not be slack to him that hates him. And he will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. All right, so now, on the one hand, you do what I tell you, I'll remember you for 1,000 generations, and I'll perform on my end of the deal. If you don't perform on your end of the deal, I will pay you to your face. Boys and girls, I'm not sure you want to meet this guy in a dark alley when he's ticked off at you. Just a word to the wise. Now flip over to Matthew 24 for all you religious people, you Christians out there. Since you didn't want to listen to Moses, let's see if we can listen to Jesus. Now, Jesus had a couple of neat things to say. His disciples came to him one day, and they said, hey, boss, this is in Matthew 24. Here in verse 1, it starts off, he says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see you not all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That's why when I hear Billy Graham saying, Christ could come tonight. You ever heard that? What a crock of BS. Christ ain't coming tonight. Now go over to the Wailing Wall. The Wailing Wall, still standing there. Listen to these words. Well, of course, Jesus might have lied to us. Or maybe he didn't know what he was talking about. That's a possibility too, you know. Most of the naysayers and the gainsayers, you know, they say, well, we think that Jesus is full of BS. And he didn't know what the hell he's talking about anyway. But just in case he knew, He acts like he knows what he's talking about here. He doesn't seem to be stuttering or stammering. Jesus said to them, see you not all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as long as that Wailing Wall is there, Christ ain't coming back. You got that? Well, that's what he said. Now, if he comes back without that Wailing Wall knocked down, you ought to ask him about it. Say, hey, boss, how come you lied to us? On the other hand, it's one of the signs that he said would be there. Wars and rumors of wars he's talking about. Don't worry about that. Listen to this. He goes on, he says, and as he sat down on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Excuse me. Hang on. Let me clear my throat there. Verse 3 says, he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately. And he said, hey, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? People want to know that. Hey, when's the end of the world coming? Well, I ain't coming until all those rocks are knocked down. That's rule one. As long as those rocks are up there on that Wailing Wall, we're all safe. We're all right. No man ain't coming back yet. And they want to know when the end of the world's coming. Jesus answered and he said unto them, well, take heed that no man deceive you. You mean there's some politicians and preachers going to come around and deceive us? Let me ask you this. Do you think there's any deception in the world? You think George Bush is a deceiver? You think some of these lying preachers are deceivers? I mean, not all of them, just some of them. Well, everyone that you don't agree with has to be a lying deceiver, doesn't it? Now the world is filled with deception. And in fact, it's such a treacherous place, you don't know who in hell to believe or what to believe. So that's his first thing. He said, hey, there's going to be a lot of deception out there. And well, that's already come to pass. Verse 5, he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He says, there's religious guys come along and pray to Jesus today. You know, they get kind of emotional. And they talk about, and Jesus this, and Jesus that, don't they? And then they're always telling you about Jesus. I remember going to Sunday school, you know, and they're always telling us about Jesus this and Jesus that, and tell us all these neat things, you know, about these Jesus stories. Well, Jesus said that when these guys come, they're going to deceive a bunch of people. Well, you can figure it this way. You know, if you Catholics have the straight skinny, then all of the Protestants have to have their heads up the wrong end of their anatomy, don't they? If any one of them Protestant groups out there has got the truth, well, then all you Catholics have to have your heads up the wrong end, don't you? We're not talking rocket science here. When I was a little kid, about 12 years old, I delivered newspapers, and we were sitting down at the Eureka Theater there in Eureka, California one day. You could stay in out of the rain there, you know, where the box office was, at this great big inside room there. We're folding our papers, and David Wagner was there, and he said, well, I went to the catechism the other day, and the preacher said, all you guys are going to hell because you're not Nazarenes. I was kind of surprised, and I said, well, our preacher told us that all you guys are going to hell because you're not Lutherans. And Mike Lyons, he voiced up and he said, well, our preacher said that all you guys are all going to hell because you're not Baptists. And then Ed O'Neill, he pipes up and he says, well, the Pope said that all you guys are going to hell because you're Protestants and you're not Catholics. You know, just 12-year-old kids, you know, out here delivering our papers. And those preachers, you know, had been filling our heads with a bunch of this. By God, if you're not a Lutheran, you know, you're going to hell. Fortunately, boys and girls, fortunately, that's not true. All of us have a duty now to obey God and keep His commandments. That Lutheran and that Baptist and that Mormon and that Catholic, they all have the same duty to practice the Sabbath day on Saturday. Just like the Scripture tells you, and to practice the Passover, just like Exodus 12 tells you. 54 indici there, 52, I guess, 52 or 54 instructions there as to how to keep the Passover. And then we came along and said, oh, no, we're not going to do that Passover crap. We're going to do Easter. You don't have any authority to change this thing to Easter. And somebody came along and said, well, I think we'll do Christmas. No. You don't have any authority to change the Feast of Tabernacles to Christmas. I know it's a lot of fun and you enjoy it and it's a lot better. And God probably doesn't know how to put on a good feast or festival and you know better. But, you know, again, this guy's got the only game in town. And he says, now, if you don't do what I tell you, here's what I'm going to do to you. So it's up to you. You know, I don't care what you do, but bear in mind now that the boss out said, well, I want you to do the Feast of Tabernacles. And you come along and say, well, we don't want to do that. I don't think that's going to play in Poughkeepsie. Now he's got a little bit more to say here. In verse 6, he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end isn't yet. So these wars that have been going on, like World War I, the Civil War, and Revolutionary War, and Vietnam, and Iraq, and Iran, and you know, don't worry about those. Well, you know, unless you're a soldier in the army, but then, hey, listen, you went and put yourself in harm's way. You know, you went and gave God the finger and said, kiss off here. We're going over here and fight for a real God, the United States of America. The God of Abraham said, I'll fight your battles for you. I'll go in here and I'll drive them out with hornets. I'll drown them in the Red Sea. I'll make their city-states fall to the ground in earthquakes. I'll take care of that for you. And we came along and said, no. We don't want you out here fighting our battles for us. We're going to go over here and we're going to shock these guys with shock and awe. Shock and awe. Got that? To hell with God. We'll go over there and tune them up. Well, anyway, don't get too excited about these wars. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Hey, on this earthquake trip over here, I was looking at some numbers the other day. Earthquakes over the last 300 years are becoming more and more frequent and more destructive and more powerful. Yeah, that's right. Over the last 300 years, I've been watching them, you know, the volume, the number of earthquakes, there's more of them. So he seemed to know what he was talking about with these earthquakes, and he said pestilences and famines. My God, you know, just in my lifetime, I think I've gone through 10 or 15 famines, most of them in Africa, but, you know, about 10 or 15. And pestilences. Hey, listen. You know, the Spanish flu in 1918, and then we had tuberculosis, and then we had polio, and you know, now we got Alzheimer's disease and an AIDS pandemic, and now we got the bird flu coming on. Hey, and I think old Jesus knew what he was talking about, don't you? And he said, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Say, this is just the start of it. You ain't seen nothing yet. This is just the beginning of it. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Yep. Yes, sir. People that obey God and keep his commandments have been persecuted. They've been persecuted, thrown into lions' dens and fiery furnaces, and thrown to the lions and tormented. That's been going on for a long time. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Hey, have you got any false prophets marauding around in your town? Well, you got churches everywhere, don't you? And you got these pulpit parrots that get up there and they talk about inane nonsense. Just go to church and just listen to this guy. He takes an hour. He'll take a text for the day. And he'll take something like sanctification. And then he'll just preach up a storm on sanctification. What the hell's that got to do with the price of putty? What's that got to do with you making a living or the war in Iraq or with the war in Afghanistan or those rocks that are standing on top of one another over there on the Wailing Wall? How's that going to make you any money? How's that going to pay your mortgage? How's that going to keep you out of the Great Tribulation? Come on, guys. These guys are lying deceivers, and they've got these people out here mesmerized by this religiosity. And I guess it's a lot of fun. I never could see anything of any intelligence to it, and so I just kind of stay away from it. But you know, I'm not opposed to it. If you guys want to go do that, that's fine. It's kind of a social club, you know. It's kind of a social club. You can go there and you can have fun, sing songs, and dink around, you know. But I don't see anything intelligent about it. And most people, you know, they're in science or business, you know, in trades or crafts or something like that. They don't spend much time in church. They don't spend much time on religion, which makes all the sense in the world. There isn't any sense to it. And the tragedy is they run around holding the Bible under their arms over here and giving God a black eye and a bad name. But, you know, here again, Matthew 24, he kind of tells you where the bear does it, doesn't he? Verse 12, he says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity, sin, breach of contract shall abound. Everybody's breaking the contract. The love of many shall wax cold. Love. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. It's the law of God that's love, not chasing your neighbor's wife down and having a little love fest in the back seat of your car or in the back of your Chevy van. Verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You're looking for salvation. Salvation is the guy that endures to the end, practices this law. In verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, there's two witnesses over here in Revelation chapter 11. Two witnesses. I don't know who these two guys are, but when they show up on the scene, they're gonna do some big ticket items. They've got some power, and they're gonna shut up heaven. It isn't gonna rain for a while, and they're gonna walk around here on planet Earth and say, "Hey, boys and girls, pay attention. Let me tell you where the bear does it." And when those two guys come, they're gonna tell you this story. I haven't heard of them yet, and I don't know where they're at. So I'm just telling you at this juncture of time, I don't think that's happened yet. These church guys over here, they're not preaching, they're not teaching about the kingdom of God. They're teaching religion. They're teaching something else. They're not teaching scripture. They're not teaching the Bible. Hell, they threw 39 books of the Bible out. They don't even read from the Old Testament. That's done away with, nailed to the cross with Jesus. We don't even listen to that. Even though Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The religious guys tell you, the church guys, the Holy Joes, the sky pilots say, oh, don't listen to that crap. Jesus is lying to you. Don't believe him. Believe us. Believe us, they tell you. All right. Remember, you heard it first right there in Matthew 24. Jesus told you plainly. He said they're lying deceivers. They don't represent me. They represent religion. They represent some other god. Always keep in mind, you know, when we're talking about God, I'm talking about a different guy than you people, most of you ever heard of. This guy here in the Bible, he's a different god than, you know, this isn't the sweet Jesus, you know, that you've been hearing about. This guy's meaner than a junkyard dog. Go back here to Deuteronomy 28, and you tell me that's sweet Jesus? Scares the living hell out of me. All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. And our Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log, schedule, and our archives. It can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website's georgegordon.org, and the phone line is 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about this breach of contract. Contract penalty clause. All right, this contract penalty clause from Deuteronomy 28 is being extrapolated by the Messiah, by Jesus, who was Melchizedek in the Old Testament, who was the God that stood on Mount Sinai, and he said, hey, Moses, come on up here, and let's jawbone for a while. Took him up there for 40 days, and he instructed him, and, you know, he told him, you know, this is the way I want things run, this is the way I want this deal done. And Moses said, well, sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Went down, pitched it to your great-granddaddy. Your great-great-granddaddy, 84 generations back, he said, well, I think that's a pretty good deal. And in Exodus 24, verse 7, your great-great-granddaddy said, all that the Eternal hath said, we will do and be obedient. God said, well, good for you. We got a deal. Now, God performed on his end of the deal. We got our SUVs, and we got our condominiums and houses, and, you know, we got our standard of living and our economy. You know, we've got the best piece of real estate. You know, you Canadians up there, you take a look at your piece of real estate and what you got. Did you know out in Alberta you got 3.6 trillion barrels of oil out there? Did you know that? God wasn't whistling Dixie now when he told you, says, I'm going to bless you when you come in and bless you when you go out. And you Americans, you've got another 3.6 trillion barrels of oil. It's called oil shale, sitting out there in Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah. Did you know that? That's right. You people don't need a barrel of oil from Saudi Arabia. Not a barrel. You'd be better off if you'd mine your own, take care of yourselves, instead of taking care of them Arabs. But then, you know, free trade. You know, that's what you wanted. That's what you bought into, and so that's what you got. So Jesus comes along here in Matthew 24 and says, well, let me extrapolate upon that, because this talks about the end of the world. His disciples came up and, hey, tell us about the end of the world. You know, people, they got their ideas about the end of the world, a little different than the biblical concept of the end of the world. But people have their ideas, their religious concepts. So Jesus said, well, gather around, boys and girls, and let me tell you. I'll tell you where the bear does it. I'll tell you where the rubber meets the road. And so here in verse 14, he said, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world for a witness. He's going to tell you people out there, here's where it's at. And then, when he gets through preaching this gospel, the good news of the law of God and what he's going to do in these prophecies, then he said, then shall the end come. In verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Well, now, have you guys seen the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place yet? Well, I have. But when you see it, when you see that, when those Jews over there build that new temple, They're gonna do an abomination of desolation over there. And when that comes to pass, you know, you want to perk up your ears. When that wailing wall comes down over there, you want to perk up your ears. Don't let any grass grow under your feet. Don't let any moss start growing now. And it might be too late by then, but then I don't know when it's early and when it's late. See, I'm not a prophet. God doesn't talk to me. I don't know. Don't know any more about it than what I see here in the Scripture, but I thought I'd report on this. Now he goes on, another step over here. He said, this abomination of desolation, when you see it, whoso readeth, let him understand. Verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, and neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. You women, you know, you got babies sucking on you. It ain't going to be a very, very good time. And he goes on to verse 20, says, but pray you that your flight be not in the winter, and neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. Hey, I looked at that and I said, now how can you top Noah's flood? Well, that's what he said. He said, this thing's going to top Noah's flood. When we get through with this program, you're going to look back at Noah's flood and say, oh my God. Now, Noah's flood killed everybody in the world but 8 people. We know that this isn't going to kill everybody in the world. It's only going to kill 90%. So the way I got that scoped out, evidently in Noah's flood, there was 2 or 3 billion people in the world that got killed. Well, there's 6 billion now. If you're going to top Noah's flood, then you got to kill 90% of 6 billion. Well, how many is that? 90% of 6 billion. Well, I'd leave about 500 million left, wouldn't it? Got a wrong number, 600 million. 10%. And over here in Isaiah 6, verse 13, he says, I'm going to save a tithe of you alive. I need a little seed stock. I'm going to terminate the herd. I'm selling off all the herd over here, but I'm going to keep 10% for breeding stock. That's the way I got that scoped out. And he says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. He said, remember those 7,000 we were talking about? I don't know how many there are. There could be more than 7,000. But there's some people here in the United States, in Canada and Australia. There are some people out there that actually obey God, keep his commandments, and practice this law. They're kind of few and far between, but I run across them every once in a while, every now and again. In fact, there's a guy that makes up these signs. We were talking about this a little earlier. You know, I got a sign out here on my gate, you know, it has 10 commandments on it. Well, there's a statute in the Bible. Did you know that? A statute. There's a law in the Bible that says that you're to put these 10 commandments here on your gateposts and on your doorposts. And there's a religious guy. He's a guy that calls you Brother George and Brother Bill and Brother, you know, he's a pretty nice guy. And he makes those signs, and he does them pretty cheap. That's why I buy them from him, because I can't make them that cheap. So I just buy them, and I put them out there, and I recommend them to my students. I always tell my students, you know, when they come to school here, by the way, are you interested in practicing the law? And guys say, well, yeah, I'd kind of like to do that. Good. Well, here's a law that you need to practice, and here's where you get these signs. He's got a phone number. If you want to know what it is, call the school, and we'll steer you onto this guy. Now, notice here that there's a bunch of guys out here called the elect. There's a bunch of guys out here in the world that practice this law. Just like Lot was saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God will save those people out of this great tribulation. Well, it's what he says. He says, I'll take care of you guys. Now, notice here in the verses ahead of this, he says, now, you know, if you're in Judea, and he tells you, flee to the mountains. Don't flee down to the seashore. Don't go down to Gaza. Flee to the mountains. So I took a look at that, and I said, well, here I am in San Francisco, California, and it says flee to the mountains. I think I'll get the hell out of here. Just stay away from the coastal area. Stay away from New Orleans and Gulfport and Tampa, Miami. Stay away from the coasts. Flee to the mountains. And he says, pray that your flight be not in the wintertime. Boys and girls, if you're going to be a refugee and end up, you know, like the Vietnamese, you know, fleeing when the armies are moving around, maybe it'd be a good idea for you to get out now. You ever thought about that? You know, maybe if you looked ahead a little bit, you know, I mentioned this the other day. I said, you know, if you were thinking ahead, maybe you get the hell out of New Orleans. Sell your house to somebody else and let them sell your house to some guy that wants to stay there in New Orleans, wants to stay there on the coast. You know, he's probably religious and goes to church every Sunday. Let him face Hurricane Katrina down there and the seven times worse hurricanes that are coming. Let him show God which end is up while you take off and get the hell out of there and go to someplace that's more intelligent. I mean, just a thought. Might tuck that one away in your heart. Verse 23 says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there is Christ, don't believe him. So when somebody says, well, Jesus is over here, or Jesus is over there, or, you know, Jesus has come, you know, don't believe him. He tells you when he comes back, hey, listen, when Jesus comes back, you won't have to be concerned about missing it. Hell, CNN is going to be there photographing the whole thing. You'll be able to catch it on headline news. He says it's going to be a real public event when he comes back. He says there's going to be earthquakes and there's going to be meteor showers. I mean, there's going to be a lot of big-time stuff going on, and it's all going to be covered on CNN. It's headline news. And then you'll be able to watch Jesus come back right there on TV. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they'll deceive the very elect. Now, behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, don't go forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Don't believe it. He said in verse 27, for as lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Hey, when this thing comes down and Jesus returns, it's going to be an event. You won't miss it. Well, that's what he says. He said, you're not going to miss it. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Well, wherever Jesus is, you're going to find his elect will be gathered together there. And immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, if you want to read about the tribulation, about how bad this thing is, this is just kind of a thumbnail sketch of. He's talking about the tribulation. If you want the details of how this tribulation comes, then go read the book of Revelation. God, that'll make hair grow on your chest. If that doesn't scare the bejesus out of you, then you ain't got nothing to be scared of. So he gives you, you know, kind of a detailed chapter by chapter, you know, here's the way this deal is going to come down. Now, when these events are transpiring, you know, for instance, one of the big events that's coming down is one-third of the oceans are going to be turned to blood. There's going to be a red tide of algae, a red tide of algae that's going to affect one-third of the oceans. I would guesstimate that probably it says something to do with global warming. And I don't think it would make a lot of difference whether we're burning gasoline and burning coal in our power plants or not. I think that this prophecy would come to pass anyway. I think global warming is caused by God himself, and it's probably true. We're throwing a little gasoline on the fire, but the fire is already lit. The fire is already burning, and you don't have to do anything one way or the other. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. It'll happen in spite of you. I know Al Gore wants to stop global warming. Children, wake up. There's some things like hanging the moon in orbit around the Earth and starting a fire on the sun and global warming that are just bigger than me and you. There's just some things out there that we can't control. whether you like to admit that or not. I'm just telling you, you're not going to bring the moon in 300 feet or move it out 300 feet. You're not going to move the moon at all, and you're not going to add to or change global warming. Al Gore says, well, you know, follow me, and we'll stop this global warming. Follow me, and we'll stop gods. Follow me, and we'll stop the Great Tribulation. I think you're going to do something and fall back in it. You're going to poop and fall back in it. That's all that's going to happen here. Wake up and pay attention to reality. Verse 29, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, that's one verse that describes the book of Revelation, which is in greater detail. So if you want more detail on how this thing comes down, the book of Revelation is for you. Verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, that's up in the atmosphere, up in the clouds, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And the book of Revelation talks about these trumps and these trumpets and these great plagues that are coming down on us. Remember he said, now I'm going to punish you guys seven times more for your sins. Hey, when this thing gets down here to where the rubber meets the road, you're not going to miss any of this. Now, of course, when he comes back, everybody's going to be shocked and surprised, and there's a point in time, I imagine, when, you know, it doesn't really make a lot of difference what you think or what you say or what you do. If you're waiting and you're saying, well, I'm going to sit back and wait and relax and live my life and play with Federal Reserve notes and go to church on Sunday and practice Easter until the last minute, and then I'm going to do this deathbed repentance and I'll change at the last minute, I think you're whistling Dixie. Throw a straw hat. I don't think that's going to work. Give it a try. Send me an email. Let me know how it works out, would you? God told you. Now he said, I'm going to pay you suckers to your face. And it sounds like to me here, this is where the tribes of the earth are getting paid to their face. That's why I'm telling you, I don't think that this is the guy you want to be giving the finger to. He's going to send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the one end of heaven to the other. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he puts forth leaves. And you know that summer is coming on. So likewise, you, when you shall see these things, you know that it is near even at the door. When you see these events transpire, hell, you know, Billy Graham says, Christ could come tonight. What a crock of BS. None of these prophecies are even in the offing. I don't know when he's coming back, but he's not coming back tonight. Probably not next year or the year after. But, you know, we're getting down to where, you know, every year that goes by is 1 year closer. Every day that goes by is 1 day closer. Now, it ain't yet, and you still have a little time to clean up your act. You got to be grateful that you got a little time to clean up your act because you're in breach of contract right now. And unless you get that contract breach cured, you know, you're apt to get tuned up in no uncertain terms. Verse 32, he says, learn this parable of the fig tree. When you see this happening, then you'll know that this is coming right here, right at the doorpost. Verse 34, he says, now truly I say to you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Now, there's these guys called preterists out here, and they say, well, see, all these things came to pass. Well, they did once. There's always a type, and then there's an anti-type. Prophecy is dual. Happens twice. And this all happened to these early Christians. You know, the first 200-300 years, all happened to them. And then the big event comes later. Now, much of what you saw here, the stars, you know, in the heavens, and these asteroids, and one thing, that didn't happen historically back in the first, second, and third centuries. There's a lot of persecution. A lot of these guys were killed. That's true. But not all of this has come to pass yet. That Wailing Wall over there still got rocks stacked up. The second coming hasn't occurred yet. And he told you when they say, well, Jesus came, and Jesus is over here, and he's over there. He says, don't believe them. They're a bunch of damn liars. Now, of course, you preterists out there, you believe your preacher's over here, and you don't believe Jesus. Well, that's fine. I don't care. And I just suggest that, you know, this guy Jesus, he might know more than those preachers. Maybe. I kind of figured that he didn't stutter here, so I figured he probably knew what he's talking about. He said in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said, what I'm telling you, is so rock solid, he said, heaven and earth is going to pass away before one word that I speak does. That's why I said, I think this guy acts like he knows what he's talking about. But of that day and hour knows no man. Verse 35, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they didn't know that until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, there'll be two in the field, the one taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Many people think that's the rapture. You know, there's going to be two of us out in the field. And one of us, one of the elect, is going to be taken up into the clouds and then changed to a spirit being, and he's going to descend with Jesus on the Mount of Olives. If you were one of those 7,000, you know, one of those elect, you're coming up in the first resurrection. Go to Revelation 20. Tells you there's three resurrections. That's for you guys that, you know, most of you Christians out there, hell, you guys are all going to heaven. You guys are going to heaven, remember? You die, you go to heaven. The rest of us over here, the elect, we die, we go into a hole in the ground, wait for a resurrection, then we get resurrected when the second coming occurs. Assuming, of course, we make the first resurrection. If we don't, then you make the second resurrection. Second resurrection. Then if you don't make that one, you make the third resurrection. Three resurrections. Nobody's going to heaven. And then, as a matter of fact, everybody's going to hell because hell is a hole in the ground. It's your grave. That's what a hell is. Now, this Matthew 24, he goes on to say here, you know, that watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Now, he's telling you, there's all these signs to give you an indication. You know, I don't know what year it's going to be, but I can tell you, just watching the war over there in Iraq and Iran and North Korea and the earthquakes and one thing and another, I can tell you, we're in this last generation. Generation is 40 years. I just got a hunch that we're in that last generation, the last 40 years. But he said, when this thing happens, you'll be commuting to work. The day he returns, you will go out, get in the car, started up, and be on your way to work. Or something on that order. Or whatever it is that you're doing. When this thing happens, it's going to be a surprise. And you know, we just kind of accept life. You know, this is the way things are, and this is the way it is. So, you know, Jesus had a lot to say about this breach of contract also. The New Testament is filled with prophecies that deal with this second coming, the Great Tribulation. There's 30 of these prophecies scattered through the Bible. The main breach of contract chapters, remember, is in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. That's your two. He tells you, here's the benefits, and here's what I'm going to do to you if you don't get the benefits, and here's what I'm going to tune you up with. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, all three of them tell you the same Great Tribulation story. And then jot this one down. Mark 10, verses 28 through 30 says, you practice my law, troops. You just give it a try. You do it. And if I breach the contract, I'll pay you 100 times what you lose. I tried it. I didn't lose anything. I was really disappointed. I was kind of in hopes that I'd lose about $10,000, and then he'd owe me 100 times or $1 million. I never collected a dime, and I never lost a dime. I don't think you will either. Hey, I'm out of time again. That concludes this program. So let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Hey, I'm out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, new topic. So until then, God willing, of course, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.